Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us, yes, you, let us exalt that wonderful name of Jesus together. I tell you, child of God, we're in for another treat. I'm so glad that you joined me on today. And so I want you to grab your Bible and come right on in and make yourself at home. Yes, right here where Helen R., Ministry of Empowerment. We have a wonderful lesson on today that we're going to be sharing with you. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be blessed on today. Call someone, encourage someone to tune in on today. They're going to be tremendously blessed. I tell you, God is dealing with my heart so much in regards to a lot of end time things that are taking place and things that are happening. The other day I woke up and I tell you, child of God, I just had like an alarm system just was going off. It's just like alarms just going off. And he was saying, warn my people, tell my people, share with my people, and sound the alarm. And so on today, what I'm going to do is today I'm going to talk about a consecrated church on today. I'm not going to get in all to what the Lord laid in my heart, but I just want to encourage the church as never before, amen, for us to draw nigh unto the Lord and turn our hearts full, whole heart towards God and find ourselves in prayer. That's what he laid in my heart about being at the altar, call his people back to the altar, communing with him, being in touch with him. And that we continue to acknowledge him and he will direct our path. Now, the reason why I really believe that this is such a very vital thing for us to know, it was on yesterday. I was driving on my way home and I was happened just to kind of look up and things. And I seen this car coming directly at me. It was a vehicle that was trying to on a two-lane highway or street, it was actually a street, trying to pass a school bus. And it was just so happened that the Lord just instantaneously allowed me to be able to move out of the way and just to continue on and proceed forward without a casualty. And so I'm rejoicing in the Lord of his goodness, his mercy, and his grace, and just seeing the multitude blessings of the Lord. Now, that was on the heels of this alarm, like, was going off in my spirit and heart. And so the Lord wanted me to share with the people of God, just be sober-minded, walk circumspectly, keep your heart attuned with God and sober, and watch your reaction to things that are coming upon the face of the earth, and just be very, very prayerful. He said, through loving kindness have I drawn thee, and allow the love of God to continue to shed abroad in our hearts as never before, because this is a unique time that God is going to use his church in a profound way. Yes. God is going to speak through his church. God's going to use the church. The church is going to be the hands of the Lord, the foot of the Lord. We're going to mobilize God where he wants to go, and we're going to speak what God wants us to say. We're going to do what God wants us to do, and God is restoring and building the voice of the church, his bride, as never before. And so get ready and be ready to be used by God in such a great way. And so let's look at the lesson that the Lord put in my heart for us on today, a consecrated church. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 to verse 40, Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 31. And we're going to look at being consecrated as the church. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 and verse 40 say, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mocking, cruel mocking and scorning, yea, moreover, a bond and imprisonment. Stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wonder about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves on the earth. And all these, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 29 and 31 through 31. And now, Lord, behold this tree threatening, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hands to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. Now, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It states, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's consecration of the church through suffering and service results in blessing as well as growth. Now, God, I believe, is going to do a great thing and move upon this people in a mighty and a special way. Let's take a look here at the word of the Lord. The Apostle Paul asked, what do we not that your body, what know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. The believer's awareness of the price paid at Calvary drove the early church to commit their all to the Lord. They once had been in bondage to sin, but now they were free. They once had exit in misery and despair, but now they live in peace and joy. Their lives have been changed, transformed by the grace of God. They who at one time have been enemies of God were now reconciled by his blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. What amazing mercy straight from the heart of God. Romans chapter 5 and 6 says, but when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Now, the consecration begins with a call to commitment. In Romans 11, Paul explained how God had extended mercy to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews. God has chosen the Roman believers to whom Paul wrote, which the apostle affirmed in his opening of the letter, and they were the call of Jesus Christ to be the saints, Romans 1, verse 6 and 7. It was because of God's call and his compassion that these believers needed to commit themselves to the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let's look at the growth of commitment. The commitment to which God has called us as Christian is not a one-time experience. Rather, it is a process that develops as we mature in the Lord. As Paul stated in the letter to Romans, commitment requires a sacrifice of oneself and a separation from all ungodly influences of the world. You'll see that Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We should die to our sinful desires and live to please our Savior, which causes us to make a number of costly personal decisions along the way. Like Abraham of old, the pilgrimage of faith always demands courage as well as discipline. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have after received for an inheritance obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Hebrews 11:8. The writer Hebrew Lockett pointed out that Abraham has changed certainty for uncertainty, the known from the unknown. Abraham must have questioned both himself and God as he traveled from place to place through the rock strewn land of the Middle East, dwelling in the tents of Hut. His thought must have been included of some misgivings and certainly experienced struggle. Scripture plainly reveals some of the glaring failures of man, yet Abraham proved himself to be a true friend of God as he grew in commitment. Commitment is costly, and it is often required long-term dedication. A marathon runner once noted that real commitment begins at miles 18 and 26 miles race. After 18 miles, the temptation to quit becomes extremely difficult to battle, causing between 30 and 50% of all marathon runners to stop before they reach the finish line. It is the individual who has rigorously training behind him and genuine passion for the finish line within him who completes the race. How significant, then, are the words of Apostle Paul as he neared the end of his ministry, the end of his life? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. Finishing the course, being faithful to the end, is all important. There are always those who will bolt and run at the fiercest point in the prolonged battle. More than half of marriage couples walk away from lifelong commitment to their marriage when the pressure becomes intense. The course God chooses for his children to follow often is rough and thorny, with deep valleys of discontentment or disappointment, as well as high mountains of discouragement. However, by constantly and faithfully serving the Lord, we gain new dimensions of God's blessing and ultimately finish the course. Near the end of his course, Paul wrote, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Apostle was saying that God sees every effort and sacrifice which we made. The Lord is righteous in his judgment, and he will reward us according to the deeds done in our bodies. We can take comfort in the fact that God knows every believer who gives sacrificially, and he will respond to every Christian who prays earnestly for the Holy Ghost revival. To those who are revealed and persecuted, Jesus declared, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Matthew 5:12. Certainly, the reward laid in store for believers when we see Jesus will make every difficulty and adversity of life worthwhile. There will be no talk of suffering then, and no one will complain of difficulty experienced in the Christian life. Paul proclaimed, "For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now, the demonstration of commitment is key as well. God has set aflame the hearts of those who have a burning commitment for the cause of Christ. He has filled believers with his Spirit, taking them beyond experience of merely accepting Jesus as their personal Savior. The committed goes on to invest themselves in whatever promotes the kingdom of God, which involves witnessing and financial giving and encouraging others. Further, it may entail some of the most mundane things imaginable, such as moving a lawn, fixing a broken water pipe, and baking a cake for the shut-in. Now, repeatedly prevailing itself in numerous ways, commitment must take action or they will eventually die. Through their fervency and faithfulness, the early church demonstrated their zeal for the Lord. In the 4th chapter of the book of Acts, the magistrate cast the apostle Peter and John into prison after the Lord miraculously healed a lame man from whom they had prayed. boldly, Peter had accused the people of being responsible for the death of Jesus and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him have given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Unquestioningly, Peter affirmed that the name of Jesus, although he had been rejected by the rulers of Israel, was the only saving name. The Sanhedrin, threatening them, even beating them, did not stop the apostle from preaching. Those empowered Christians were determined to exalt the name of Jesus, their Savior. The product of commitment and consecration. A returned missionary explained that he had thought he was committed and consecrated when living in the homeland. However, when he went away, he made a startling discovery. Walking out into the night over a snake-infested jungle trail demanded a greater determination and dedication than he had ever experienced. Many seemed willing to serve God to a point. They are willing to receive of the Lord's full and free forgiveness and to receive the Holy Ghost. However, to really commit themselves to a life of sacrificial service is quite another matter. They fail to see that it is only by making a complete commitment, full consecration of the body and spirit, that they will receive God's best. Further, creation involved complete surrender. Sometimes consequences simply demand more than we are able to cope with on our own. Often our minds require renewal, that is, our thinking has to change. The pressure of everyday life are draining and even overwhelming to a point where we can lose all spiritual perspective. In the final analysis, either our world is changing us or God is transforming us. The only real confidence we have in Christ comes as his word and spirit touch our heart. Real strength comes only through the complete submission of our will to the will of God. Now, let's look at the required a yielded will and a trusting heart. At times, God will speak to an individual's heart to do the unusual. No one else may hear or the same message, or no one else may feel the same passion. Despite the indifference and reluctance of others, a person whose heart is willing always wants to respond. It was that way with the lad who had a little lunch, a 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. It seemed the disciples had dismissed all impartial that the Lord as impartial the Lord's ideas of feeding. Certainly, Andrew thought that the boy's lunch was really nothing, but the little is much if God is in it. God performed one of his greatest miracles because a young lad yielded all he had to the master. My God, what a word. I pray that you caught that. Just yield your all to the master and let him do the work. Let's look at a scene in the church persecution. We get a picture of the real consecration when we see how often and how others have suffered and died for the gospel. It's easy enough for us to talk about sacrifice in a comfortable home and modern churches, but the early churches endured terrible persecution. They're loyal to their faith. Many of the early believers refused to bow down to the images and even images of the empires. As a result, the governor often regarded Christians as an adversary and things. And then during the second century, the Roman Empire had thousands upon thousands of Christians either beheaded or thrown into the wild beast. Early in the 4th century, empire passed an indictment that demanded that the Christians either apostatize or face death. The determination of the believers to stand true in the ages were reminiscent in things there in Hebrews 11, verse 35. Others were tortured and not accepting deliverance. that they might attain a better resurrection. Commitment. Now let's look at the consecration results in blessing. In the first century, church was not only a suffering and a bleeding church, but it was also a blessed church. Cushion helped to reveal the great passion and commitment of these early Christians. Purified by the fire and by the sword, they became a brilliant light shining out into their darkened world. Now, blessings follow breaking. God often has used broken things, a broken rock in Hebrew, broken vessels, broken bread, broken heart, broken body of Christ. Strangely, some things become most valuable to the Lord when they seem most useless to others. The feeding of the 5,000 is proof enough of what can be done with that which is fully yielded to the Savior. The boy offered 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, just a boy's lunch. But what are they among so many? Broken in the hand of the Creator, the small lunch was enough, more than enough, to feed a hungry multitude. The 12 baskets of fragments were amazing evidence of God's blessing upon genuine sacrifice. Adam wrote to God's miracle woman. What an amazing miracle God performed while Adam was asleep. God created the first woman as a full-grown female without a natural father or mother. Eve, made from the rib from her husband's side, is a type of the church and the wonderful relationship that it has with Christ. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Ephesians 5:30. Likewise, Adam said of Eve, "This is now bones of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Even as Adam's body was broken so that Eve might live, Christ's body was broken so that we might live. In the day of her Creator, Eve bore her husband's name, and we are now bear the name of our Heavenly Father, Bridegroom. What a thrill it must have been when God brought Eve, a perfect bride, to Adam, her husband. In a similar fashion, Christ will present to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Ephesians 5:27. God revealed his pattern, blessed, broken. The Almighty had a plan for shaping the life of people who he chose to use for major tasks. He often observed several patterns in the way he molded these chosen vessels. At first, God makes himself real to these individuals, often blessing them in unprecedented ways. The Lord sees their potential and they begin to see his greatness. He may call them from a place of obscurity to a place of prominence, or counterculture, or otherwise. The Lord may lead them from prosperity to poverty. Nevertheless, they experience dramatic change in their lifestyles as they run a gamut of difficulties and gradually learn that God is the source of all that is meaningful and magnificent. Job was an upright individual in his days. Satan questioned Job's consecration, but God, knowing that the man's heart, stated, "There is none like him in the earth." Job was both righteous and rich. His flocks and herd was so numerous that in wealth he was the greatest of all men of the earth. Every good man will be tested. Every believer's faith will be tried. Job was stripped of all his possessions, his servants, his sons, his daughters, and finally his health. And as if it was not enough, his wife became bitter, and the 3 friends who should have comforted him became an accuser of him. Much more remarkably than even his terrible trials, however, was Job's steadfast trust. After his storm-tossed experiences, things dramatically changed. The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Joseph went from being a favorite son to becoming a distrusted slave. During the great trial he endured and during his latter promotion to the second most important position in all Egypt, Joseph's commitment to God never changed. His morals, his principle remained intact. Since the Lord saw that Joseph could be trusted in the dungeon with disappointment, he trusted him in the palace with power. Time to prepare those whom he wishes to use for special purposes. It is certainly so with Moses. God sent him through 40 years of rigorous training in the backside of the desert before he used him for 40 years as Israel leader. As with Christ, Moses learned obedience by the things he suffered. If we follow the steps of Moses' life, they lead from a palace to pasture, and then from the backside of a desert to the edge of the promised land. David, who once was a national hero, became a national outcast. He became a deposit maniac, a fugitive on the run from his subject. It was the same David who committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her wife executed. As serious as his sins were, Jesse's son had a heart that was consistently longed after God. Because of his passion for God and his repentance attitude, David reigned became monumental in that the Messiah came from his lineage. Now, beloved of all, Heavenly Father, heralded by the angels, Christ came into the world. He came as our healer, as our worker of miracles, but most of all, he came as Savior. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. What humiliation Jesus suffered as he gave up his life on the cross with a triumph when on the third day God raised him from the tomb. The church grew and multiplied after each one of these crises. Although opposition endured to beat down the revival fire that had begun at Jerusalem, it miserably failed. Instead, it only caused the configuration to intensify and that the flame swept out into all other areas. When threatening believers spake the word of God with boldness, when beaten for preaching Jesus, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. In Acts chapter 2:47, in Acts the church, the numbers of disciples multiplied. Now, Father, God bless what he can feel. Whenever spiritual hunger exists, there is a heavenly resource to meet that need. Jesus taught, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Nothing of our own desires and so-called righteousness can remain when we desire God's abundance. Our vessels must be empty and washed clean of all our pride and carnality. God's grace presuppose human emptiness, and his mercy is based on human unworthiness. Now, the consecration accomplished by God for service. Now, God does the consecrating. Craftsmen build the tabernacle articles according to God's command. God's purpose in giving Moses the tabernacle was so that he might dwell among his people, Israel. It was a marvelous and precise plan that spoke of our salvation in type and shadow. The Lord commanded Moses, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the instruction thereof, even so shall ye make it. Exodus 25:9. Bezalel was the principal workman or overseer in the erection of the temple. Significantly, his name means under God's shadow. The scripture said he was both called by God and filled with God's spirit. In type, Beelzebub represented represented the Holy Ghost, who alone would assign individual work to skilled craftsmen and alone could devise artistic design to work in gold, silver, and brass. Today, all that is productive and beautiful in the Lord's church is the work of the Spirit, who anointed the articles of the tabernacle. In fact, they had to anoint every piece of furniture, every vessel with an all of holy ordinance. As a result, the high priest of the Most High God, we too must experience God's anointing as his chosen vessel. We are all and are all possessed, really, and things belongs to him. God glorified, sanctified, and consecrated the articles. It was mankind who made the broad archaic wood and the curtains of fine twine linen and the sacred vessel, but it was God who sanctified them whole. Exodus 40:34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, tabernacle. Individual Christians must repent of their sins and prepare themselves fully for receiving the Lord's presence, the Holy Ghost. The Lord desired to fill us with his Holy Spirit and consecrate us to his holy purpose for our life. As God anointed and consecrated the Old Testament vessel for his use, so does he the same for the New Testament vessel, believers filled with the Holy Spirit. Consecration always denotes a purpose. It became obvious to all in Israel that the tabernacle was a holy place where the nation could commune with the Almighty. In like fashion, we can worship and fellowship with God only at a place of consecration. It is only there where our hearts are sanctified and our wills are surrendered that we will see his glory. We are to bring a living sacrifice ourselves for the purpose of worshiping the one who loved us. Someone once stated that we should always be standing at the altar. In every dispensation, there has been a need for sacrifice, a need to give God the very best. Now, every article and every piece of furniture within the tabernacle was devoted to the worship of God. When the altars and the golden candlesticks and the scoffers and the bowls and the basin were anointed, they were then to be used in sacrifice and service. We too must be set aside for God's purpose. We too are touched by the sacred oil of the Holy Spirit to consecrate, to be consecrated instruments in the kingdom. Consecration is a costly thing. To meet the approval of Jehovah, the tabernacle had to be built with careful precision and a great expense. Moreover, priests put to death thousands of bullocks and sheep under the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. Now, however, Christians offer a far different sacrifice. Paul appealed to the Roman Christian to offer their bodies as living sacrifice to God. It was the only reasonable thing to do, and the apostle remained and maintained the Lord has been so gracious to them. The church of the first century set a tremendous example in the matter of commitment and consecration unto the Lord. Boldly, the believers in the book of Acts, they preached the gospel and fearlessly faced the oncoming persecution, and they was tremendously effective in the day, their days, because they were filled with passion as well as power of Jesus Christ. I tell you, child of God, on Sunday, the Lord had me to preach a message in regards about passion, bringing fire on the altar. And we were talking in reference about our passion and our fervency and intensity of our love towards God and the things of God and our commitment. Children of God, let us continue as never before to stay committed to God, to do the blessed work and all that he called us out to do with great intensity, with great fervor down in our heart and passion and commitment and compassion down in our hearts to do the blessed work of God as never before. Father, we come right now and we thank you for this wonderful lesson on today. We thank you, dear God, for the example of the early church. And God, we ask, oh God, right now that you will bless us, bless the children, bless our hearts, bless our minds as never before to do your check and do your blessed will in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we praise your name and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, we recognize, God, that you can do all things with well. Bless every hearers. And Father, we praise your blessed name. In Jesus' name, amen. And so, child of God, I'm so glad that you was with me on today, and I know that you have been tremendously blessed getting a better understanding about the consecrated church that God is going to use. Yes, you have been set aside as a holy instrument, sacred instrument, consecrated instrument for the glory of our Father. He said, come out from among them and be ye separated, said the Lord, and I will receive you. And touch not the unclean things. And so we as the children of God, as we continue to prepare our hearts to do the work and the will of the Lord, go on forward and let God use your life in a mighty and a special way. Watch him open great doors that no man is able to close because you made yourself available. I don't care if you're broken. God can use a broken vessel. Amen. He can put it all back together and give you everything back that the enemy has stolen from you. So be encouraged, child of God, and watch the mighty hand of God move profoundly and profusely in and through your life. Again, as I always say in my closing, if you don't have it, God got it, and you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. And so until we meet again, I pray that God will bless you with a no-sorrow blessing for you and your family. May God tremendously bless you. Until we meet again, call someone and encourage them to come and meet us right here at home, Helen Arm, Ministry of Empowerment. And so until we see you again, may God bless you. Bye-bye.